Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Train your body. Here's exercise physiologist Melanie Cole, MS.
Have you ever thought about what your trainer looks like, if that makes them a good or a bad trainer? If you see a personal trainer working with somebody at your gym and they seem to be carrying a few extra pounds, do you right away create this first impression of that trainer that maybe they don't know what they're doing or talking about? Do you have to really walk the walk and talk the talk to be able to train and teach? And what about in the reverse? What if your trainer is only looking for people that make them look good and that they're not really willing to work with people that are carrying those extra pounds or that might be a slow, gradual progression? To me, that's even much more satisfying. My guest is Richard Cotton. He's the National Director of Certification Programs for the American College of Sports Medicine. So, Richard, this is such an interesting topic. What do you think of trainers that are carrying a few extra pounds? Because we're all struggling.
Yeah, it's a fabulous topic, and it goes both ways, because a trainer needs to, you know, to walk the walk or walk the talk, and so they need to be, you know, in their own program making a sincere effort to live a healthy, healthy, happy, and creative life, you know, and that's important. And also, though, a trainer that's obsessed with their body, or, you know, is thinking a little bit too much of themselves, that can also be an equal problem to one who isn't really sincere in their own personal effort. So it truly goes both ways.
It does go both ways. And you can be somebody, I struggle with my weight, and I've been a personal trainer for 25 years. And But I've always made sure that I kept myself in shape, but I know. And it's one thing that connects me to my clients is that they know that I'm sort of going through what they go through. Is there something to that, that maybe you want somebody who's not that much loftier than you would be, that maybe understands a little bit more of your struggles?
Absolutely. No question. And someone that's willing to share their story and can truly relate, I think, has tremendous power with their clients and can offer probably, I would guess, at optimal value. And but, you know, that person that is kind of perfect body hasn't had the experience but is still sensitive enough to do their best to relate, well, that also works too. But it's that person that's so self-involved and can't understand why someone doesn't love exercise, they have a challenge with relating.
How do you recognize that person, Richard? If you're somebody going in and looking...
Yeah, no, just how well they listen. What, you know, ask them what kind of clients they've been training. What do you suggest my goals be? And it should be something about making some gradual changes and overcoming, you know, self-criticism, things that they may not be able to relate to, you know, especially with regard to health habits. So it's really, it takes place in the interview and in talking to clients of that trainer.
So there has to be this relatable way about them. When you talk to them, you have to kind of get that feeling of whether or not they're looking down their nose a bit at you. And, you know, so as you said, it goes in the reverse, too, because some trainers are really only looking for somebody to work with that is going to make them and their business look good. How do you know?
Yeah, and that... Well, you just know by their attitude and the, you know, the subtleties of their relating with you, you know. And then once again, it's then how well are they really listening? How excited are they about working with you as a client? People can pick up on that, and it's hard to fake a commitment to your clients. So, you know, it's just, and also the older a trainer is, the more they tend to relate. I once had lunch with a psychologist working on a large university project where they had seniors coming in for with hypertension. They were coming in for a walking program, and they had too many for the PE department to lead the walks. So they went over to psychology and got some of the undergrad psychology students. So they had to train the PE people to relate to the seniors, and they had to train the psychology group to lead the exercise in a proper manner. And they had a lot easier time training the psychology students to lead exercise than they had than the trainers to relate. What they found with the you know, this is late teens to early 20s, that they tended to be more interested in the successful clients. And that is a matter of maturity.
It is, and I know exactly what you're saying, because it is a matter of maturity, and you see, so when somebody is going to pick a trainer and they look around at all the trainers in the room working with people, and they see somebody with this perfect body who's in their early 20s and all enthusiastic and all of this, and then they look over and there's somebody in their 40s, you know, really working with somebody who may look a little more tired, but yet still enthusiastic, then you talk to them both and you gauge their maturity level and you try and see whether they're going to connect with you. I mean, because there has to be that connection for you to have a successful personal trainer client relationship.
Absolutely. And if you don't get that connection, if you're not comfortable with a trainer and how committed they are, then you need to move on to another trainer, because that is the best trainer around, whether they have the perfect body or not.
And should you be taking advice, nutrition, that sort of thing, your knee's been bothering you, from your trainer, and is that also based on age and experience?
Yeah, age, experience, and education, and it shouldn't be really, I mean, it's that advice should only go so far. And it's more in modifying program rather than you know, therapy for a knee challenge. Nutrition, certainly, troubleshooting, you know, why you kind of fell back in the past couple weeks, that sort of thing. But nutrition for a given health challenge, that's the work of a dietitian.
And you know what, as I see it also, Richard, the younger a trainer tends to be, the less nutrition has been a part of their life where it actually matters in your mortality, I suppose, and the less that they see that that's this really important factor, unless, of course, they're the trainer that's heavy bodybuilding dude who's been doing, you know, protein powders and supplement.
That kind of nutrition.
And they're always forever giving advice about that sort of thing. But really good, proper nutrition, unless you've, you know, been around the block a few times, you kind of need that to see what's going on. So in the last full minute here, wrap up for us about choosing your personal trainer based on their looks versus their experience and maturity and knowledge level, and, you know, really how to get that great relationship going.
Yeah, so the looks is definitely the first impression, and that can be a first impression that is that, you know, needs to be considered, but that's only the start. So beyond that, it is the interview. How engaged are they? What is their education? What are they? How are they certified? What are their typical clients? Do your goals and objectives, you know, are they consistent with the way the trainer has been training people? Is this trainer training athletes, or is this trainer training people for weight management and quality of life? That's two vastly different things. And make choices based on a whole bunch of things.
Well, make your choices, you know, kind of get a good feel, and of course, look up their certification. If they're certified by the American College of Sports Medicine, you know they're probably pretty good. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Stay well.